headwind.
He's onto the law. Okay, I won't ask Kevin there. Joe, thank you, Joe. Can you put some of those on each table? Open up the piece of paper so it's nice and big. Stack the Bibles up at one end. We will need those shortly. But for now, just go back to your tables and we are this morning in part two of a three-part series on breaking bread. And Kurt began the series last week. Next week, as we've heard, it's going to be all sorts and we'll be looking at something different. But the week after that, Anna's going to be bringing part three of that. And each part has a particular focus. And today we're looking at how the breaking of bread reminds us that we are part of the body of Christ. And our new pattern of worship together means that we now break bread together every time we gather. And so that and the part of the reason is that reminds us that we are part of his body. So I thought we'd begin with a body. So if you'd like to, one of you, or maybe more that are artistic, if you'd like to draw what's on the screen on your piece of paper as big as you can. As big as you can. For the benefit of those that are listening on top, there's a picture of an outline of a body. What I'd like you to do is to... now you've got... Everybody got a body on their piece of paper? A nice big one? What I'd like you to do is to label as many different parts of the body as you can. Okay? These are not going to appear on the screen. Of course, Chris said he labelled me in the Bible and says, you're welcome to label me in English or in Welsh. I'm expecting your paper from your group to be completely covered. Okay, here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to stand up or move from where you are and go and have a look and see what some of the other tables have done. Okay, go have a look at other people's. Well, I'm going to have a look at some of the others. See what they've done. Have a good laugh at what I've done. Sorry, have a good examination of what other people have done. Okay, if you'd like to go back to your table, and I'm going to put a question on the screen that I'd like you to talk about, okay, just for a minute. So have a look at your diagram. Don't write anything else on it. So you don't need to add anything else to it yet. Paran o corff yw'r pwysicaf. Which part of the body is the most important and why? Okay, talk about it in your group. Don't tell me. Tell the people in your group at your table. Which bit? Okay, pray the way to say, just have a conversation amongst yourselves. Very good. So have a bit of a discussion. Decide amongst yourselves. We're going to have a quick vote around the room and see which bits we've decided are the most important. Yeah.
That deserves a high five. That's good, that is. Very good. Okay, so what single part of the body do we think is the most important? Head wing.
Heart.
Heart, okay. Tom. Brain. Any other offerings? Lungs, yep. Any other ideas?
Blood.
Skin? Yeah, otherwise you'd all just be running away. Bacteria. Okay, any offerings from that side? It's a ridiculous question, isn't it? Because if you just took any single part of the body without any of the others, what use would it be? No use whatsoever. It's not like if we're talking about sheep. If you take a single part of the sheep, just on its own, it does have a use. You can eat it. but with no apologies whatsoever to any vegetarian persons. Sorry, I used to be a butcher. I jest. But of course, our human bodies don't work without all the other bits. And we're going to read together. We're going to read together some words from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Would somebody like to volunteer to read this for me? Thank you. Good. Let me give you this.
Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be?
Thank you, Margaret. So, question. Beth, if you gwahanol rannau yr ydym yn ei chwarae yn hoff Christ, what are the different parts that we play in the body of Christ? Because they are reading before told us that we're all part of one body, which is the body of Christ. That's how we sometimes talk about the church, the body of Christ. So what are the different parts that we play in the body of Christ? Let me give you a full instance. Somebody here this morning is the pianist. We're not all the pianists, are we? That would be silly. If we all tried to gather around the piano and all play it all at once, that we'd have a lot of piano, but nothing else. Of course, some of what happens in the body of Christ has nothing to do with our meetings together and our gatherings together. It's about what happens in between, in the rest of the week. So what are the different parts that we play in the body of Christ? Have a discussion about that together, and we'll get some feedback. If it helps to write them down next to your person on the sheet, then please do. Okay, let's get a few ideas. I'll tell you what we'll do. I'm going to point at each table in turn and just give us one, okay? Is that okay? So you need to watch and see whether I'm pointing at you. Okay. Listener.
Welcomer.
Making a tea and coffee. Yep. Doing the accounts. Preacher.
Carer.
Encourager. We're worship leader? Yep, teaching Sunday school. Yep.
Listening.
We had that. Give us another one. comedian. Hold on, have you got another one? Administrator, yeah. Furniture movers, really important, yeah. Washing uppers, good. Friends. Pastor, yeah. We've run out of here, I'm going to carry over.
Turn it up and listen,
yeah. There's a certain focus here, okay. Music makers. People that speak or preach, yeah. Teaching, yeah. Helping, yeah. There's lots of ways that people help, aren't there? Sorry? Looking after the money. Yeah. Anything else? Look. Mission worker. Do you know, there are lots and lots and lots. It tells us elsewhere in the New Testament, not in this passage, but in some of the similar ones, that God has given every single part of the body a particular job. Now, have a look at your picture for a minute, and can you see all the different parts of the body that you've labelled? They all do a different job, don't they? Does the ear do the same thing as the foot? No, that would be silly, wouldn't it? Can you imagine? And just what? They're all in the right place as well. Can you imagine if you had your ear on the end of your ankle? You'd look very silly, wouldn't you? But that's not the way it is. God has put each part in our human bodies to where it's supposed to be to do a particular job. And the same is true of the church. He's put each part with a particular set of skills and characteristics in just the right place. And unless we all bring what God has given to us, then the body isn't complete and functioning as it's supposed to. Now, here's what I'd like you to do. Grab the Bibles that you moved off the tables or to the side of the tables and look at the next part of the passage that we read before together. So, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 18 to 27. And have a read of that. And in particular, have a look at verses 18 and 25 and see what we can learn from those verses. Okay? So just have a discussion at your table about those. So read it together and then look at those two verses in particular. Okay. So what does verse 18 tell us? Tells us that God's put us where we're supposed to be. For a purpose. Yeah. And often, you know, those passages, most in Corinthians, but also elsewhere, that talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, those gifts are not given to you as a person. So the spiritual gifts that are given to Rachel, using her as an example, are not given to Rachel for Rachel. They're given to Rachel for the body. Which is different, isn't it? It's a bit like if I gave Thomas a box of chocolates and said this is for the church, what would you do with it? You'd eat them all. Would you? No. Or would you open it and hang them around? If I said it's for the church, it's not just for you, it's for the church, what would you do with it? You'd just eat them. There you go, that's true body ministry, not demonstrated there. I'm sure you would. For real, you'd open them up. If everybody else is here, you'd open them up and you'd hang them around, wouldn't you? You might have one first. Would you pick the one that you liked first? Yeah, just to make sure you don't miss out on that, because you don't want to end up with all the coconut ones at the end, do you? No. How you would like to end up with all the coconut ones at the end? Just to do a quick vote. Yeah, and the coffee creams, yeah, I know you've gone first. Good. All right. So, what does verse 25 tell us? Tell us. There should be no division. We should all care for one another. There should be no division amongst us. Yeah. is.
Where?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes body ministry looks like a hug or a smile. Yeah. Heaven. Yeah, so it's about the members of the body having the same care for one another. Because we express that particularly in lots of different ways, in how we interact with one another and how we pray for one another. So even when we're not together, we can express that care in lots of different ways. Okay, which of us, as a part of the body of Christ, is the head? None of us. Let me just show you this picture. This is a picture by my late friend Dave Cave, and it's a picture of the body of Christ, and I don't know if you can see it because it's quite small, but the picture of the body, which has got no head attached to the top of it, is entirely made up of people. And I like that. You can decide which part you are, whether you're a kneecap or somewhere in the arm or whatever. And next to up with this verse, it says, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him, Jesus, who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So who is the head? Christ. He's the only head. And the moment any human being or any group of human beings try to establish themselves as the head of the body of Christ, that particular expression of the body of Christ is in trouble. As soon as a pastor of a church, for example, says, I'm in charge and we're all going to do what I say, rather than Christ is in charge and we're all going to do what he says, then the body is going to be sick and is going to be ill. Right, I want to give you a practical example of that. So I'm going to use this table here. Norman and Jenny, could you just sit at this end of it and clear a nice space there? And let me explain for some of you while you just think about this. So I put on the screen, it says, let's read it out loud together. After three, one, two, three. Bad Corinthians. Norman and Janet, you're going to be bad Corinthians. So you've gone together with the rest of the body, and you brought some stuff with you, boys. Brilliant. You're going to like this. Janet, Norman, you're going to like more of this than Janet is, probably. No, I know. Some of it is. There you go, Janet. And, by the way, you're not sharing, okay? So it's just you two, sorry. There we go. So, that's great. And you carry on. Have as much as you like. But don't share with the rest of the table. They just have to sit and watch. Okay. So there was a problem in the church in Corinth. There were some bad Corinthians. And this is exactly what happened. They would come together, and it was the practice of the church at the time that when they came together, they would eat together, and they would have a great big feast, and then they would and they would share together, and they would have communion together, and they would have the body and remember the body and blood of Christ as they shared in bread and wine together. But in the church in Corinth, there was some bad Corinthians. And it wasn't even just one or two, it was quite a lot of them. And what would happen is, when they gathered together, they would get their food out, and they would stuff their faces, and they'd be eating as much as they could, and having a lovely time, and in the same room were people who were starving, hungry, and didn't have anything. And desperate for food, and they didn't mind, they'd just carry on eating. And Paul came along and told them off. Who likes to be told off? Nobody. Who needs to be told off? All of us sometimes. Some of us more than often, and not more than others. Definitely in my house anyway. I need to be told off more than us. They'd forgotten, while they were stuffing their faces, that they were one body. The church together. And later on, Paul would warn them of the consequences of that. And he wrote to them, those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. Let me just say this one. Okay, let me fill over the microphone lead, and then I'll say this over there, and I can't do it again. Let me say this in relation to that last part, okay? Going against what God has put in place is serious. It's serious. It's always serious. Sin is always serious. And one of the reasons it's serious is because it spreads. And so it wasn't just one or two people in the church in Corinth, it was lots of them. And so this bad practice had pervaded the church. And it's now been put right, because Paul's told them off now. So they can share. That's good. And so they're told, you know, when you come together as a body, remember that you're a body, you're not just a group of individuals, you know. And here's a very simple example of what that might look like, how it might be expressed. I didn't like church this morning. I thought the worship was rubbish. Somebody said that to Francis Chan. Said, I didn't like church this morning. The worship was, I just didn't like the worship at all. Francis Chan's response was, that's all right. It wasn't you who were worshipping. Which is a little bit light-hearted, but very poignant, isn't it? Yeah? It's not for us, you know, but when we gather together, it's about what happens in the body. And who are we trying to please? An audience of one. And what happens in the body is part of that pleasing the audience of one. Remember what he said to us? Jesus said, a new command I give you. Love one another. This is the hard bit. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. So there's a witness part to it too. And communion, as we come to communion, is supposed to remind us that we're part of Christ's body. I want us to, who remembers memory verses from their childhood? When you had to learn a verse. So we're going to try one this morning. So let's read what it says on the screen together. If you can't read it, just listen the first time and then join me the second time. Okay, ready? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Okay, who could say that if I took it off the screen now? No, okay, let's say it again then. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Okay, let's see if we're getting it. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, because we all partake of the one bread. And again, because there is one body, for we all partake of the one bread. You're doing better than me. Keep going. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. And again, because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. How confident are you feeling? I'll take some more words out. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Fantastic. Here we go, and again. Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake one bread. Was that right? Yeah, it was. As we partake together in communion, it reminds us, as we take communion together, old-fashioned word, partake, sorry. As we take communion, we take from the one bread together, and that reminds us that we're one body. Whose body are we? Christ, and he is the head. And so part of the reason that we, as a church, have decided that when we gather together, we're going to share in communion more often, and most of the times we gather together, apart from when it's all sorts, then the reason that we're sharing in that one bread is to remind us that we're one body. And there's that part of our communion together. So, I think it might be time for us to come to communion together. And I just want to, we're not going to sing it, but I just want to remind you of these words. God says, call to me anytime, including now, that'll be fine, anywhere. So we could be here, or we could be at home, or we could be on the bus, or we could be walking down the street, or we could be in somebody else's house, or we could be in the car. I say to the kids in my kids club, I quite often pray when I'm in the van, and they look at me a little bit horrified and say, do you pray with your eyes closed? I said, no, you can pray with your eyes open, God doesn't mind. I keep my eyes open when I'm praying, and I don't put my hands together either. I've got my hands on the steering wheel. We can pray wherever we are, and God says he will hear us, and he will care for us. So he loves to hear from us. We're going to pray for the parts of the body, the parts of this body, who are not with us right now. We're not going to have communion just yet, but we're going to get ready, but we're not going to take it just yet. But just at our tables where we are, we're going to remember those who are not well. We're going to remember Rob, and is it Nicola, his partner? We're going to remember baby Math. Rachel's just now had a message from Cheryl about Math. Do you want to just dig that out? Is that right? We're going to remember Kurt, who's poorly, and Billy and the family. And there's lots of sickness around, isn't there? And of course, those that are longer term not able to be with us, we're going to pray for Molly and for Gwen, who are very, very rarely able to be with us through their infirmity various, and for Val, who's poorly right now. So lots of our body. Remember that little verse that we read earlier on when you were reading at the table? And if one part of the body suffers, we all suffer. It affects us all. Because we're one body together. We're not just one body, just those who were in the room at the time. But we're one body. And so we're going to pray together for all of those people. If you get a chance, please would you pray for Math this week? He was in Glencluid earlier in the week and then to Aldar Hay on Thursday for the pre-op. They decided to keep him in as he's still being sick and his temperature spiking. Tests have come back clear, so not sure why. Could possibly be temperature is due to teething. Surgery is scheduled for Tuesday, but all bypass operations have been cancelled for Monday as there's something wrong with the machine. Please pray that surgery will go ahead on Tuesday for skill of surgeons and doctors for a speedy and speedy and complication-free recovery, and for courage, strength, and God's peace for Matthew, Fionn, and Ollie, for whom it's already a great strain. Many thanks and deep appreciation. Share. So as we pray, we'll remember little Math and the whole family too.